And now Anne's going to come and give our readings to us. So thank you, Anne.
I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 9, 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoiced before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And then, short verse, verses 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
Well, just before Sophie comes to share a message with us, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Christmas story. We thank you that into a world of darkness you were born. We thank you, Lord, for that wonderful message. And now, Lord, we pray for Sophie as she speaks to us, and we ask, Lord, that you will give her the words to speak, and that through your Holy Spirit we'll be able to take on the words that she says. So, Lord, prepare our hearts, clear our minds, and let us respond this morning. We ask this through your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
And so over to Sophie with our message, Be the Light.
Am I on? Oh, hello. I'll stand at the front. Hello, everybody. How are we doing? I hope we're all still here. I'm a bit chilly. I should have put my dad's socks on. But here we are. It's been a privilege to be asked to speak this morning. Park Road. Some of you may know me, some of you might not know me, but yes, Park Road has been my childhood church. I was dedicated, baptised, and became a church member here, so it's always special to be back. So thank you very much for having me. Well, we've just had Christmas. I feel like we're in that strange part of the week of, I don't know what day we're on, but at least it's Sunday, so I know at least somewhere where we can be. But at Christmas, I'm reminded a lot of C.S. Lewis and The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. It brings me the same nostalgia I had as a child. Last year, I went to see the live performance of Narnia, and I really recommend, it was amazing. But my dad would read this to me when I was little, but only when I was really watching the performance it really did hit me, the true resemblance it had to the Christian faith. How Aslan, the lion, represents our loving, gracious, godly father. C.S. Lewis, as well as The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, was a bright thinker and a profound, knowledgeable theologian and Christian. And in one of his famous publications, the Four Loves, he writes this. I think it might come on the screen. I'll read the full quote. "It is easy to acknowledge, but almost impossible to realise for long, that we are mirrors whose brightness, if we are bright, is wholly derived from the sun that shines upon us. We are mirrors whose brightness is wholly derived from the sun that shines upon us." This, for me, is an illustration of how human love and goodness are reflections of God's divine light. God being the sun that shines upon us, his people, and then we are the mirrors reflecting that out. Christmas reminds us quite clearly of the greatest gift of all, Jesus, who came to earth in human form. C.S. Lewis reminds us that we are mirrors illuminating, catching, and reflecting the brilliance of Christ. And read our readings, but in Isaiah there is a clear promise of a great light breaking into the darkness. And then centuries later, Jesus reminds us that this light is not ours to hide, but today we are invited to see ourselves as mirrors, reflecting the light we have received from God. I wanted to look at the two passages, one from Isaiah and one from Matthew, both old and new, closely, because although they are from different points and spectrums of the biblical time frame and timeline, they speak of a real similar scene, light, a promise, and how we can be the light. Simple, but I think clear. Isaiah 9 is something we hear a lot at Christmas, obviously, the life of Jesus projected, mapped out, speaking directly into like an oppressed society, a lost community, but offering a glimmer of something that is to come. And then the verses in Matthew, which we heard after, speak of something greater, the promise that has come. He's been born, Jesus, and he's with us in human form on earth. Jesus speaking to his community on the Sermon on the Mount, being clear with instruction, do not ignore the promise, do not keep it quiet. And I guess that's why I wanted to start this morning, using C.S. Lewis as an introduction into these passages, because they set up beautifully the way God's light moves from promise to fulfillment and then into our hands, where I'll share about my job and also the work that you guys are doing at Park Road. The first thing I want to touch on is the promise, which is mainly seen in Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7. So as we know, I work for a church in Leeds, if you don't know, a midweek church ministry, but it's very exciting. And Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7 was one of our readings we read during our carol services over the last couple of weeks. A passage many of us may know well. I feel like I could recite it now. I've heard it 5 times, read across 5 evenings back to back. But it's worth pausing to really reflect on it. Isaiah speaks to people walking in darkness, as we heard, living under oppression, fear and uncertainty that some of our brothers and sisters across the world will be feeling today. They were under foreign domination, facing daily struggle, injustice, unsure of what the future would hold. But into that broken world, Isaiah maps out a remarkable promise. That a light is coming, a Messiah would come to bring joy, peace, and restoration. It's not just a comforting thought, it was a clear vision of God's plan, a light breaking into the darkness of a waiting world. This promise was meant to give hope to people weighed down by the reality. And today, the world around us can feel heavy in different ways. But even in our own communities, we face loss, loneliness, and uncertainty. And those headlines can feel overwhelming. And it can be easy to focus on the darkness. Yet, Isaiah reminds us that God's promise does not fail. The light is coming, and his plan continues to unfold even when the path is unclear. The depth of this promise also speaks to us personally, I would say. God calls us to participate into that light, not by creating it ourselves, but as I said, C.S. Lewis said it better than me, but by reflecting it like mirrors. We are invited to show God's love, hope, and goodness, which we hear over Christmas, into our families, our communities, and our workplaces, wherever that may be. We have the power within us to pray. We can pray for those, like we have this morning, living under oppression. We can care for those who struggle around us. And we can shine a small, but steady light into the darkness wherever we can. That is what we are called to do. At Christmas, we celebrate the promise has been fulfilled through Jesus, the light breaking into the world, and we are then invited to reflect that light. In Matthew, Jesus is speaking to his disciples during the Sermon on the Mount on a hillside in Galilee. He was quite the star. He addressed a community that were, although many years on from Isaiah's time, still under Roman occupation. They're having social inequality, spiritual longing, so much going on, but he calls them to step into the light they have received, to live visibly for God's glory, to reflect his love and truth. Centuries after Isaiah's prophecy, the promise came true. The light that was mapped out, the hope foretold, entered the world in human form. We know the story. He was born into a society under a world of political tension, social inequality, and religious expectation. Jesus walked among people who longed for guidance, justice, and peace. In Matthew 5, Jesus speaks directly to his followers. He tells them, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others." I think this isn't a gentle suggestion. I think it's a real clear, practical call. The promise has come. Jesus is the light, and he's entrusting his followers to reflect the light outward, to not hide it, to put it on a stand, to make it really clear. When Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," he's not suggesting that his followers generate light on their own. Rather, he's declaring what they have become through their relationship to him, the true light. He tells them to not manufacture light, but to live in a way that makes it visible, the light that they have received. The command to let your light shine does not remove the need for obedience, but it defines it, calling them to reveal through faithful lives the light of God already at work among them. And this is present all in the New Testament. Jesus does this again and again through his ministry, only over a short time, but it's really clear. He calls fishermen fishers of people in Matthew 4 before they have any idea how to teach or lead, really. He looks at Simon, one of his good friends, and names him Peter in Matthew 16 and calls him the rock while his life was still marked by instability. Jesus invited tax collectors and sinners to his table. And in each case, Jesus identifies people according to God's intention, not their current condition. The imagery in Matthew 5 is something I really wanted to look at. It's clear. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, and a lamp is not lit to be concealed. Jesus says this to people whose lives have been largely hidden. Jesus met with those in poverty, who were ill, who were ashamed, but he deliberately chooses the displaced throughout his ministry, I think. Here he declares that their visibility is not accidental. God is not embarrassed by his people. He intends to be seen through them. And this pattern then continues into the early church. Those Jesus first called light are the very ones who were scattered by persecution in Acts. Yet scattering does not silence the light, it spreads it. The same Jesus who spoke identity and promise over his people in Isaiah is shown again. The wonder of the moment of this promise is fulfilled in that God's light is tangible, real, and present. Jesus shows what it looks like to live fully in the light, and he calls us to join him in reflecting it. As you heard, for some of you know me well, but Park Road has been a heavily part of my story as I've grown up here. As you know, I work for what we call a midweek church in Leeds, right in the centre of Leeds, called Holy Trinity Ball Lane. I've moved to, some people might say the dark side, but I work for the Church of England, if you could believe it. But my Baptist roots are still very important to me, and my roots to Park Road are very central to who I am today, and it's something I thank daily for. When I was growing up, it was everywhere, but Park Road's famous tagline was to be a light for the city. And it's echoed with me along all the journeys I've been on, and I think it's also really clear in the passages we've heard from today. We've heard the story of Christ becoming human, the map of Jesus and how he came into the world, and we've heard the call to be the light, to reflect his hope and love. But how practically do we do that? I think Park Road models that well, to be a light for the city. During my gap year, I served with BMS World Mission. We prayed for missionaries overseas this morning. I served overseas, and Christian mission has become a central part of my life. And that was distilled through my upbringing at Park Road Baptist Church. I now serve on the front lines, as they would say, in Leeds at Holy Trinity Ball Lane. Church for me looks a bit different in my day job. We don't meet on a Sunday, and some people are baffled, but we have midweek ministry. So we have services on a Tuesday and on a Wednesday, and that's because we have the service to serve and love workers in Leeds. And workers in Leeds aren't generally around on a Sunday, but they are around on a Wednesday morning and a Tuesday afternoon on their lunch break. We lead a daily communion every Tuesday, only half an hour so people can slot it in their lunch breaks at work. And we have a prayer breakfast on a Wednesday morning so people can pop along, have some breakfast, have some time in prayer, and then go on to their daily work. For us, we wanted to remodel the way church worked so we could meet people where they were. Just a few weeks ago, I helped organise and run our carol services. For us as a midweek ministry, carols and Christmas is a big thing because it's most of the time when people who haven't come to church before will come. They'll come at Christmas. We welcomed over 600 people into our church building over 5 nights, so it was quite busy. And amongst that, we invited various food and drink vendors, local musicians, and people of Leeds to come into the space. Stepping out into the community we serve, many of the people that came might have never come to church before. And yes, church looked different, no chairs, singing, a brewery in the corner, donuts on the side. But they still came to hear a glimpse of the Christmas story. By running our midweek initiatives, we aim to support and serve city workers. We're located slap bang in the centre of Leeds, and that is our mission. We've been there since nearly 300 years, but we're remodelling it every day. You may have heard stories of what we call quiet revival, people coming into churches. And I'm encouraged to see that happening in Leeds and here. Previously, I worked for a retail brand in Leeds, so my experience has been quite useful, and seeing my previous work colleagues coming along to church spaces and being invited has been really encouraging. Here too at Park Road, you are doing so much, I think, with your new building project, opening up the space, making it more accessible, and finding ways to serve Peterborough. For me, I was greatly touched. I grew up through crops, which they meet here every month. But you're also doing your warm hub, your Chinese church, your food cycle, so many things to list. And I think you guys are truly being a light for your city. As a congregation, for me, you've always encouraged and equipped each other to be lights. And for you guys sitting here, yes, we've spoken about the church is what we're doing, but that doesn't come just, it doesn't just stop at the church. It comes with us too, in whatever context you might be in. Your context might be your workplace, your home, your family, your friends, your schools. But wherever you are, we are called to be a light on a hill that cannot be hidden. To be mirrors reflecting the light of Christ. Not creating it ourselves, but being mirrors to him. We are given an incredible opportunity, I think, to reflect his light in our communities. We encourage to step into the light. We encourage to love, care, and serve, showing God's presence through action. That's a picture of my church there, and that's a picture of my carol services. And so I want to leave you with the question, maybe let it ponder in your mind, and it might just sit with you for the week we have ahead. How will you be the light in your week next week, wherever that might be?
So we're left with the challenge there, be the light. How can we be the light this week and into 2026? A blessing. May the wonder of the shepherds, the joy of the angels, and the giving hearts of the wise men be evident in us. In the name of Jesus, our Saviour and King, we offer this prayer of heartfelt thanks. May the spirit of Christmas be awake in you this week. May you find places to see God at work. May you embody the generosity of the season and the grace of the Christ child in our midst. Amen.